is it? New today. We've been looking at work that was channeled back in the 80s. It came out as a book called Ra, Law of One. You can also look for it on YouTube. There are people that have helped to digest the work and speak about it. One, a very good presenter of that is Aaron Abke. Does a fabulous job of digesting and speaking the work. I find it's a very clear, dissertation basically on the metaphysical overview of the evolution of consciousness. There's a lot in there that I resonate with, a lot in there that I find fits with other traditions that I've looked at over the years, and I think it's well worth looking at. These are all just, we continue to look at what is through the, as I say, the many facets of the crystal. Every time you look through a different window, you can see something different into it. So again, it's been a useful inquiry, I think, to just get more perception on the journey. So if you're interested, up on our consciousunity.info website are the recordings of all the previous women's circle, the teaching component. If you're interested in looking back at some of that work, because I won't be able to obviously recapture all of that and actually continue the work of what we're doing today. But in brief, what we have done before is that within this work, the consciousness that is the being channeled, which they call Ra, even though Ra itself says not actually Ra, but more that this consciousness, which is a what they call a social memory complex, so six densities, so it's a collective consciousness, we'd have to say, did have an appearance, came through priests in the time of Egypt, and so hence where it got the name Ra. But truly, it identifies itself as a social memory complex that originally actually began on Venus about 2 million years ago, developed very quickly into the vectors of love consciousness and up through the densities until now it's six in the sixth ray. And part of being in the sixth ray is to give service back into previous rays, which is what it's doing. And the because of course it has it understands teachings of karma and all the rest of it, it's not there to actually bring, because of our free will, it only worked with them in terms of question and answer, so it wouldn't actually teach them as such, but they could ask questions and it would answer them, so to be able to comply with not overstepping the laws of free will, where you give information that isn't actually solicited. But within all of that, the teachings themselves are free online at lawofone.info, I believe. No, lawofone.org, sorry. Lawofone.org, I think it is. Yes, that's what it is. And even if you just Google Law of One, it'll all come up. And the nice thing there is that because it was delivered like a question answer, it depended on what was being questioned as to what was being answered. This went over a period of like 2.5 years. The frustration in listening to it, which is I listen to all of the recordings of it, is of course they're not all nicely organized into it answered according to the questions. And of course the questions also were asked by people that were in the time of the 1980s, and so also just development of consciousness, etc., was what it was then. And so sometimes now you listen to it and you're just like, oh, don't ask that question, that's a stupid question. This question, this is the logical next question. Sometimes it was just a wee bit frustrating. It's like, But within all of that, there was some amazing content that was actually delivered. And what's nice on the Law of One website is that they have gone and cross-referenced it all and put it under categories. So at least on that website, you can go, okay, I'd like to know, you know, more about densities, and then everything that they recorded that was said about density all grouped under one topic. And it's like, ah, that's really useful. And so that's been a very useful sorting process. But still, it was interesting to listen to the whole thing and to actually go on the journey with them in some ways. And if you get interested in this work, I do recommend doing that. It was very interesting to actually hear how it unfolded. Okay, so that's kind of the background. Within it, there are lots of topics that are discussed. Topics that we've looked at so far in the women's circles and men's circles this year is the key topic, which is called densities. With this being identifies the evolution of consciousness really being like the notes of sound, it works in octaves is how it described it. These are like basically seven notes that get us to the change point on the eighth note is the beginning of the next one, basically. And corresponds these to color rays. So like the first density being like the red ray. And just very briefly, that red, the red ray, very simply, being like where the divine enters into the construct in order to, you know, bring forth life and form, in order to obviously realize itself and know itself and grow itself as divinity, as consciousness. This is very elemental. There you get lots of rubbing and movement of elements, which eventually creates life, which takes it into second density, which basically got the development of plant and animal life, where that movement creates polarity, and through that it develops self-awareness, which puts it into third density, which is primarily where we're at. Third density, this self-awareness develops ego, separateness, so we can know ourselves, and we grow through this to a point where that there's lots of catalyst within this particular density, which grows us to the point where we can realize ourselves as divine and move to the next level, which is that of love consciousness, so the green ray. Then through this love consciousness, this is an exploration of consciousness, which eventually transcends into the next ray, the fifth, the blue ray, which is the wisdom consciousness ray, and then moves eventually into the indigo ray, which is the sixth density ray where love and wisdom are integrated. And then there's the seventh ray, which is a transcendent ray called the doorway, where it moves forward. So that's an extremely quick and brief overview of what that is. There is much more to say about it, but that's okay. The second circle we looked at, this thing of the harvest. So looking specifically at where are we now? And we sit poised right between the yellow ray and the green ray. We are evolving in this moment with the planet, shifting from third density to fourth density. And all of what that means, this aspect of free will and the choice within that, the importance of being able to perceive yourself as the creator, and the other two things of knowing thyself and accepting thyself and others, being aspects of that. Last time we looked at how those rays also are within us and the development of what they call spiritual balancing within ourselves, looking at how those rays relate inside ourselves and how we play that game also inside, because as above, so below, so it's within, so without, the game is everywhere, it's a fractal game. And that, it was very interesting looking at how they perceive that work through the rays within, in the development of consciousness. And that brings us to today. So today, the topic that we're picking up out of that series is what they call love and light, as being very primal aspects of the story, and to understand how these interplay and how they relate to this progression through densities is really the topic for today. So in the story that they tell, they speak of that from the divine creator, that being able to work with the void, but the void is not emptiness. The void is full of energy, of potentiality, so unrealized potentiality. It's like the primal soup of possibility out of which things can be formed. So it's kind of like a massive womb space in some ways. It's got massive potential, like the giant egg of consciousness. So this great big field of oneness. And so this is the field, you know, Ra speaks of it, that this is really like the field of love. That this big potentiality, this is where everything is in oneness, because everything is part of the one. It is where it is the field of fertility, because everything is can be birthed, can be created within this field. It's the very fertile field. So he says, you know, these characteristics speak of it as, you know, this is like the divine feminine. This is like the big womb or the big egg of possibility. And that what happens is, of course, in order to know and grow itself as a consciousness, when it is all one, this isn't possible, because when you are the one, it's hard to differentiate aspects of the oneness out of the totality. So the polarity comes into play, which is then the thought of what Ra speaks of as really the light. He said light is thought, light is information, light is the wisdom. So love is obviously the field of power and emotion that has relationships with everything. Light is like, he talks about light is like the point of fertilization. So when the light of thought goes into this field of possibility, form can arise, because out of the thought things gather and life can happen. And so this is the beginning of what he talks about as the interplay of love and light, and that the light enters this field of love and the creation begins. And so, you know, you can look at it in terms of the density in and we'll review this more at the end, that they all play between these two fields of love and light, ultimately bringing them into unity and back into the oneness by harvesting or collecting what's gathered out of each level of density. So the action of the field of love is really unification. You know, the work of love, as we know, is, you know, love is the glue. Love's what sticks it all back together again and makes it pull. So love is like the breath that pulls it all back into unity. Light is the expansion, the push that brings it into diversity. Yeah, life births all the diverse bits of all the different thoughts, and then we can have one of them and one of them, and crystals and plants and people, and, you know, that's the diversity, that's the expansion. And so it's like breath. It breathes it in, it breathes it out. Yeah, so you've got this big polar movement in some ways of the expansion into the diversity and then the pull back into the unity. All right, so given that's like big picture, how do we relate it within ourselves to our journey here? And particularly given that within each of the densities, one of these aspects of love and light is usually more at play, particularly in the lower levels. So in the first level of density, which is where things, you know, just get birthed and it's very elemental, this really, the polarity is pushed towards the aspect of light, because light is creating out of the elements all the possibilities, yeah? As it moves into the second density, the play goes towards love, because everything comes into relationship with each other. So the plants and the animals, they rub along together, they all start to learn how to relate to one another, and so it's kind of like love. It comes into the relationship, the union, the rubbing, and out of that comes the self-awareness, which pushes us into third density, which is basically life here on Earth mostly has been third density for the last 75,000 years. And the and so we have been back in the light, where this has been pushing self-awareness. Now, the part of the rule set of third density is, of course, the purpose of third density is so that we may know ourselves. This is the point of being in third density, because we have to come in to self-awareness, because how can the divine know itself if it doesn't come into some sort of self-awareness? So we come in through the veil of forgetting, which is particular to the third density, so that we forget we are divine and the oneness and the everything, so that we can actually have an individual experience of ourselves. And we can come to know ourselves as separate from the whole in order to go, oh, this is me. I am different to all of you, and I can learn my uniqueness and my diversity through my experience. Yeah. And so we go along within our little diversity, so where we are very much influenced by the light, because the light is knowledge. Remember, the light is wisdom. So the light pushes us to know ourselves, because this is the point of the light. How do we do that? We do it through catalyst. Catalyst is where we have experiences that help us experience aspects of ourselves, which we've all been doing in various ways. You'll be pleased to know, third density, shortest of them all, has the most catalyst, fastest growth, and this is where we've been. And so all of those experiences that you have, you know, this is all part of your growth experiences. And of course, it's all, you know, what Ra says, it's always about balance. This, the whole game is about balancing polarity. And that this swing of love and light being the extensions within this polarity. And that within this game that we're in here, playing the light, you know, we swing from side to side. The catalyst causes us suffering. Yeah. The suffering is not there just so that you can suffer, but is meant to bring you the clarity and the motivation to know and grow yourself so that you'll seek balance again. Because when you swing out, you'll go, I hate it out here. What am I going to do to actually get more harmony and balance back in my life? So we seek again to get back to the center. And so, you know, ideally, the idea of the game is you don't spend so much time out on the edges, but you just work how to actually kind of do this, because you'll get, you know, you'll go forward a lot faster the more you can balance. Then, but there's, you know, it's no harm in exploring the extremes, because that's knowledge too. It, even if it's to know what you don't want and you didn't like, because that's useful information, because you won't go there again and you'll make a different choice next time. Hopefully. Or you might be this thrill seeker and you go, I'd like to do that again.
Because it was really uncomfortable.
Because, yeah, and I learnt so much. That's right. So, you know, it's, nothing's wasted in the game. Nothing's wasted. But of course, you know, so we're moving here through this density of the third density, where, you know, we're here learning of the light of ourselves, the knowledge of ourselves, to learn to know ourselves. But we're moving now to really the shifting, the planets shifting now into fourth density, but still supports life of third density. That's the whole story around the shift of 2012, what it was relating to. And so, of course, you know, we've been in the light, so what is the next density going to be about? It's going to be about the love, yeah? So that's where we're shifting to. And so the fourth density, this is why the fourth density is all about love consciousness, because here we actually learn, again, to work with the love vector ray and understand the capacity to accept ourselves, so we to know ourselves, to accept others, to be able to see the divine within ourselves. And all things, these are the important gateway movements between third and fourth. And as we come into that space where we are consciously choosing to be within those aspects, you know, within Law of One, they talk about it being, you know, third density brings the choice. The choice is the free will to decision to be polarized into either service to others or service to self. These are the two possibilities of choices to move on. Much easier to go with service to others, because you only have to be 50% polarized to actually get there, which simply means not that you're giving yourself away and you're just going, oh, my life is all about just, you know, serving others. it is the understanding that you are the divine and so is everyone else. So you're serving you, which also serves others. So it's a service of self and others would have to be the way. But it's more that the focus of your actions are towards the growth of evolution, not the prevention of it. Yeah. And that you're choosing from your knowledge that you are divine, therefore you are at some level self-realized, yep, to pursue this path of being divine and then working from this aspect in the knowledge of self and the acceptance of self and others, basically. So it's kind of takes that premise. But it is a conscious choice, not an automatic choice. The automatic of not choosing is just to stay in third density. And you'll just reincarnate on another third density planet when eventually the cycle moves in. So here we are within the love and the light. And so what I want to focus on before we, you know, the story obviously continues because, you know, fifth density, it goes back to light because they're looking at the wisdom consciousness. Sixth density is obviously where they try to bring them together, the balance point of love and light. And of course, the seven is the gate. All right. But what's more useful to us is to go, how can we work with it here in our lives and what does it mean? All right. I did very quickly bring... You help me with this, Jenna, because you're like, haven't you got notes to stick up on the board this time? It's like, no, I don't. So I very quickly typed them, but it double...
just wanted to know where to get the pens out.
But it was very good because I don't have to go write it up on the board now. So I did make notes to stick up, except it double printed on the back of one of them, so I've got to use it. All right. So I'll turn this one over. And we'll just pretend it's still up there. Mm. All right. So where we are in the game, if we're in the game of balancing love and light, the thing with balancing love and light is that we're always unbalanced, yeah? Because if we were perfectly balanced, we wouldn't be playing the game. Mm-hmm. No, it's always about the movement between them. It's not about, you know, we don't all walk a straight path. So what we're looking at is that all of us hold the polarity of love and light within us, whether we are a male gender or a female gender. We all hold both, yeah? When things are not balanced, so when the aspect of love within us is unbalanced, then there's always an over and an under when there's lack of balance, yeah? There are always going to be the two polarities within it. Examples of unbalance within this aspect of love is that, okay, when we are in the over, then obviously the love vector has more aspect of emotion, yeah? Because obviously the love, we express this is part of our field of emotion. And when the emotion is over compensated, over energized, you might want to say, then it becomes easily triggered. So it's, and so, you know, it can be quite explosive. Sometimes, I've got dipolar, it should be bipolar. Sorry, quick typo. So you get this kind of symptom of where, okay, the person's perfectly fine, something triggers them, and suddenly they're just really, you know, extremely on the other side, and then, okay, then they're back on this side, and so there's again, it's almost like you can see the pendulum. The pendulum swings through the emotion on quite large shifts between the balance points. Yeah, it's not little movements. It's quite, you know, big swings as a regular thing. Also, the emotions tend to be, you know, there's uncontrolled expression. So there is like, they are so intense that the capacity to manage them is not strong. Okay, so the emotions tend to overpower the person. So once they're in it, you know, that's it, they're gone for the ride. So this is kind of symptoms, and I'm sure you could flesh this out massively, but it's just to give you an idea, yeah? The other side of the pendulum is obviously then where the emotions are so shut down, so where there is lack, basically. Quite often this comes from fear because emotions are very powerful, particularly people who have experienced extreme emotions, and it can be afraid of the power and the hurt that is within emotions. And so they can go the other way, where they will become withdrawn. They will, you know, be cold in some ways, wish to separate themselves from anyone that's going to trigger those emotions, because I don't want to go there. You know, the aspect of the hermit, the non-engagement with people. So there's the pullback. So these are kind of like the extremes of either side of that particular, the vector of the love vector. On the side of the light, this is, of course, the wisdom consciousness, the thought. So here, the two over and under, you've got, so when the strength of the thought can take you into, needing to manage everything with your mind. So it's like control, judgment, criticism, justification, often relates with externalization. So it's like, okay, the justification is like, okay, and I'm thinking it through and going, I only did that because they did this and that happened. And because of that, and when I was a child, this happened, and therefore this is my behavior now. And so it's all very logically thought out as to why everything is as it is. And that, so there is is like an overthought of everything in some ways. This then wishing, and so sometimes within this, this control can be of an extreme where it can lead them to control those that are within their environment. And in some ways they become, you know, this role of, you know, they are suppressing those around them because of their wish to manage and control them so that the environment corresponds to how they would want it to be. The other side of this, of course, the pendulum on the other side is where instead of thought being the absolute, the control, it's where the swings the other way and the thoughts are uncontrolled. And when the thoughts are uncontrolled, then this is where the mind just, you know, drives you crazy, because you've got the uncontrolled cycles of thought just going round and round and round and you can't stop them. It can lead to obsessive thinking behaviours, can lead to addictive behaviours, that often the person almost feels powerless in the face of their thoughts, like the thoughts have got me and I feel like I'm stuck inside here and I can't stop all of these thoughts impacting me. I don't have any control. So this is the absolute lack of control within thought, as the polarity of control. And so this person typically will feel quite powerless in the face of that, and, you know, often that sense of victim, etc., can, you know, be attributed to these things. So I'm sure all of us can probably go, I've been there. Yeah. Because all of us experience the imbalance, yeah, to some degree. And it's times in our life to greater degrees, because this is the game. So, you know, we are all there.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, always.
What's the point of the game? What if you don't want to play? is there some other group you can join? So you're not playing the game?
That's right.
Playing different ones?
Yes, you can choose to not move in the game. This is your choice. Although that in itself actually
isn't a choice.
Because you can just stay where you are for as long as you like. But eventually you will be motivated to move in the game, because this is the game. The game is love and light, because this is the creation. And so the how you be in the game is where you get free will, because you can, with your free will, as you learn and manage yourself, then you learn how to manage the game with less suffering, so that there is more balance and harmony. But always there will be catalyst and polarity, because to have complete comfort, in some ways, you know, my old teacher used to say, the biggest danger to your growth is comfortability. Because once you stop wanting to play and actually shift, then you're always going to go backwards. But he says there's no thing as staying where you are. That if you're not going forward, you will be going backwards. And maybe he was saying that to motivate us.
Yeah.
Essentially, you've got to believe that your higher self decided it wanted to play.
Because you're here.
I'm just like, well, so if there's a game, then there must be something outside the game.
Yes. The point of the game. The point of the game is the creator who wants to know and grow itself. And we are the creator in the game. So in essence, we are that point that chose to play this game because we are divinity, being a diverse aspect of it. And every action you make in your life brings information into that totality. Okay. So the wisdom in the game, we're calling it that, is how to achieve rebalancing. And this is something that within Law of One, the being Ra talks about quite a bit. He said the importance in all of this is the seeking of balance. That the whole game, as we put it, is the aspect of continuing to seek balance. So it's continuing to work in the polarities and going, yes, I'm over here, I'm feeling unbalanced, so I seek to come back to balance. And I might overcompensate and end up over here, but that's okay, so now I'm learning about that, and then I'll seek balance. And so it is this balancing of the polarities which brings us to the third vector, which is the growth, where we know what was in that polarity. And with that knowledge, we are more wise and we move on with different choices and therefore, you know, progress our consciousness. But in a very general term, within rebalancing, within the aspect of the love component of ourselves, it's the rule of thumb, if you want to put it that way, to keep in mind is that emotions should keep moving. Energy in motion, emotion. And that keeping the emotions moving keeps them healthy because they flow and they are expressed. Yeah. Where we get into difficulties is kind of like, yeah, when we've gone under, we shut everything down. I don't want to feel anything. I don't want to meet, you know. So all that shutting down creates, you know, that repression of emotion, which, you know, emotion keeps on happening whether you recognize it or not. And unfortunately for that aspect, you know, you end up building up volcanoes, which have this all this underground emotion, which then one day something simple touches it and it goes, meh, and you've got popcorn. That, you know, our capacity and our learning is learning how to manage them, because obviously when emotion swings very high or wide, it can traumatize us because it hurts, yeah? And we get pain and suffering and heartbreak and all of these kind of things. And what we're needing to do is manage the energy. So it's trying to, you know, it's kind of, they've got this thing they call, you know, the window of tolerance. Can I keep my emotions swinging between that and not going so high that it's doing me damage or I'm damaging others, or so low that I have repressed it and shut it down? It's like, can I keep it flowing? Can I keep it moving? And in there, you know, within the management of energy, there's always the five principles. You know, first principle, breath. You know, if you want to move energy, breathe. It seems very obvious, we all breathe, but, you know, breathing, you know, that the thing of, okay, you know, take 10 breaths before you answer, you know, that kind of thing. Why? Because we know we can shift energy with breath. We can reduce the intensity of energy. So we can learn practices of breath. And certainly there is a lots of amazing work, you know, within Heart Math Institute. You know, they have wonderful practices of breath. Jenna was reminding me of one because I was saying, oh, yes, you know, attitudinal breath, you know, maybe, you know, breathing with gratitude. And she was like, oh, you know, forget gratitude. You may not be able to get that high. Let's just go for calm. I breathe with calmness. Mm. And so, yes, actually, that's such a good reminder.
I am safe. That's always a good
thing. Yeah. Or whatever is the affirmation that you need to bring to the breath that you can get to. You know, kindness, feeling safe, feeling, just feeling held by yourself can be enough. But, you know, obviously, you know, breath is movement. Is another one. So to move energy when there's excess, then move the body, you know, even if it's just shake and just shake off some of that excess energy. You know, of course, you know, again, there are many beautiful movement practices, you know, whether we're talking about yoga or we're talking simply about a walk in nature. You know, people have all kinds of
chopping wood.
Yes, go and chop some wood. You know, as they say, you know, if you're feeling angry, you know, nothing wrong with the anger, but can you push it towards something that is useful rather than destructive? It's not the emotion, it's how you use it that either destroys or grows. You know, anger can actually be an amazing motivator to actually go and do something that, you know, you can clean out 10 cupboards in the, you know, when you're feeling that way because you've got so much power. So it's, again, it's how you use the emotion. So movement. Next one is light. You know, light is being able to, you know, bring like color. Infusing, just imagining that you are breathing with blue light can be an amazing calmer, because blue is a frequency that calms, cools, clears the energy body. And, you know, this can be a useful thing. The next one is sound. So again, whether it is your sound, you know, it could just be a good, and you know, that can be useful. It can release something. It could be, you know, managing the emotions. Sometimes, you know, one of my teachers would say, you know, humming. Humming is so good because it brings internal vibration that helps to regulate the emotional field. And so bringing humming is a rebalancing within the emotions. So these are like sounds that you make. You know, I have a friend who says, yeah, when they're frustrated, they go to the ocean, stick their head underwater and scream, you know, into the water. You know, we get this idea, sound brings a release, but not only that, but sound also can change your state. So even listening to sounds can change your vibration. This is, you know, the benefit of things like sound healing. But not only that, it's just even having your own personal go-to sounds. Like you might have your favorite songs that every time I play that song, particularly if it relates to something where you felt, you know, you've got a song that when you hear it, it just reminds you, because sound with memory is very good. It brings back feelings and it can drop you into a different state very quickly. And so you can have your go-to list on your phone, your emergency set, going, okay, when I'm triggered, I can just put this on, stick my headphones on, and I can listen to this, and I'll just go, okay, I can let it go, yeah? And the last one, intention. So there are your five. Intention, of course, intention is like your self-instruction to self. Intention can also work where you have identified your triggers and you have decided that, okay, this is something that keeps coming up for me. When this happens, you know, you've got that kind of like 10-second window before you get sucked into the vortex of it all. If in that 10-second window you can make a different decision to how you're going to play it instead of playing it in the way that you always play it, you've got a moment of where you can catch yourself. And if you have pre-thought it and carry an intention of what you'll do, you're more able to apply it in that moment than if you have not pre-thought it, because otherwise you get sucked into the vortex. And if you listen to Esther Hicks, she has a wonderful teaching about the whole vortex and how that works. And she said, yep, once you're gone, you might as well just, you know, path of least resistance, wait till you get spat out the other end, or else put yourself to bed and have a good sleep, and then reach for the best thought possible when you get up again. And it's like, okay, that's great advice. So you have this whole thing of managing your energy. So this is the managing your energy to keep yourself within that window of tolerance. Within all of these, both on love and light, the difficulty that keeps us caught in the patterns and the triggers is, of course, our attachment to the memories, to the people, to the places, because that attachment, every time someone twings that little line, it vibrates and we feel it and we react. So, of course, the bigger work is always the release of the attachments, the good old let go. The best one for that is forgiveness. It is a very good dissolve agent. It's not about forgiving them. It's always about letting go of your end of the string, forgiving yourself, forgiving, being okay with your humanness that put you through this experience. Forgiveness has that beautiful aspect of, you know, I'm sorry, which means, oh, I see there is a problem. Please forgive me. This is, I am ready to let go. You know, thank you. I've got gratitude for what this has taught me. And I love you. Getting sucked back into the unity of it all. Everything gets to join back together. Love's the glue. And it sort of takes you through that process. The other thing within this aspect of love, you know, it's a bit like, you know, the element of water. What are the two big gifts? Forgiveness and generosity. Because generosity also helps, particularly in the overcome of the under. Because when you are totally withdrawn, how do you get back in the game? You have to put yourself in to actually get reconnected. You know, you've got to put your toe back in the water. So the forgiveness can help in releasing the fears and the things that keep you blocked from the game. But of course, there needs to be some action, some generous action. And like the teaching of Christ with this, with his group that he was with, he was always going, okay, to overcome these, you know, the wish to actually keep yourself separated is actually make an action of service. So, you know, they'd go and, you know, serve the poor, heal the sick, you know, do something where you are giving yourself outside of yourself to assist something, because, you know, this in itself brings you not only a feedback or feeling good about it, in some ways, but it actually helps you enter the game. And so they talk about, you know, service above self, or service to others in this case, as being an action within this. And of course, within love, if you're looking for the balance, if you are out of balance in love, then the other obvious place to look is on the other side. It's to look at light. And what does light do? Light's all about the thought and the reasoning. So if the emotions are out of balance, then ultimately it's looking at why is this so. The work of self-inquiry is helps you to actually understand yourself, to get strategies about what is causing this uncontrollable emotion, so that you have more understanding, because ultimately you have to know yourself. That's how you will balance yourself, and that's where the light helps the love in this polarity. If we're working the other side, where the imbalance is in the light, then here, the thing that moves you most quickly above the issues of control and obsession, the kind of over and under compensations of thought, is to where you give thought to something, in essence, where you actually look at love. You can bring thought that is devotional to higher things, is one of the quickest ways of moving beyond your own obsession of thinking about yourself, truly, because really, whether you are in the control vector or whether you're in the obsession vector, it's always all about you. If you can move that thinking to where there is power, so you need emotion, and thinking of something higher than you, something that is a like a passion of something that you want to assist, help, grow, serve, you know, the evolution, the consciousness of one and all, or whatever it is for you, that you know, that is a very quick way, because you're bringing high devotional energy that helps you move from it's all about me to I am one with everything. Yeah, it's a key way of shifting. Also, of course, within this is surrender and trust. These are words that you were bringing up before, this aspect of surrender, because of course, where there is control or where there is obsession, this is because you don't trust the construct to deliver to you what it is it needs to deliver. So you're trying to manage it, where you can allow this balance. So yes, your desires are in there, but you're trusting that they will be met in in how it needs to flow. You're not trying to shore it up so it happens the way you think. There is a trust in the divine that it will work with you and that you will come into an equilibrium with it. Again, there will be forgiveness because, of course, you have to be able to release attachment to thought, how you think about things, how you think about people. Because typically within this, you've moved into externalization where you know, judge or blame or have opinions and all of these things, which are all part of our ego construct. And ultimately, we need to start letting them go. How do we do that? Forgiveness, again, is a key way to taking us into acceptance of ourselves, acceptance of others, acceptance for the diversity, going, isn't it fabulous that we're all different? You know, I don't need to actually be upset that they're not the same as me and therefore they, you know, they're rubbing against me because, you know, they're different. Instead, we can embrace difference. We can come into acceptance and understanding. And of course, the key way within this is that once we have this capacity to realize our own divinity, to become self-realized, and then to see that, of course, everyone else is divine also, and so is all of that out there, then it changes how we perceive everything, because then we're not so pulled by what happens, because we're much more accepting. We have much more equilibrium within it, and so our balance is easier to come back to, because while it pushes us over here, we're able to go, okay, that was interesting, and we let it go and we come back down again, so we don't get so hooked. You know, again, my old teacher used to say, you know, he says, look, yes, I know it's personal, your experience, but don't make it personal. He said, it's not all about you. It's, you know, it's got to learn how to dance. He said, look, make it personal just one third. And two thirds, it's not personal, not about you at all. And that he said, this is a much better balance, because then, yes, you've got, you know, free will and interplay. But by two thirds, if you can manage surrender and trust and allow yourself to just be in the game, he said, way more magic will happen in your life, because it can play with you as much as you play with it. And you're creating more space for it to come in and be with you. And so this is a much more ease in the navigation when you play like this. So that's, in a nutshell, an overview of love and light from the perspective of Law of One.
Very helpful.